Good evening. Our year 2020 is off to a good start. We want to say we welcome those of you who may be visiting with us tonight. We have visitors. We're always glad of that. If you have a question about anything that is done or said here, don't hesitate to ask. Feel free to ask it. We'd be glad to sit down with you if you have a question and talk with you about that. And we encourage questions, and don't mind in the least if you have one. This evening, I'd like to talk to you about the subject of 2020 vision in 2020. Can we have it? A few years ago, I had some cataracts removed. They could put a lens in one eye for seeing at distance and in the other eye for seeing up close. I opted for that. I think there were some other options, but essentially, 2020, and the only time I need glasses is when I'm up here. For some reason, something about the distance here. But as Christians, we need our cataracts removed of guilt and remorse and fear and other negative things that may be causing us problems so that we can have 2020 vision in 2020. So we're going to talk about that tonight in the book of Philippians in chapter 3. Verses 4 through 14, the Apostle Paul gives us his vision for life. And here's what he wrote. If anyone else has a mind to put confidence in the flesh, I far more, circumcised the eighth day of the nation of Israel, of the tribe of Benjamin, a Hebrew of Hebrews. As to the law, a Pharisee. As to zeal, a persecutor of the church. As to righteousness, which is in the law, found blameless. But whatever things were gained to me, these things have I counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ. Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and count them but rubbish, so that I may gain Christ and may be found in him, not having a righteousness of my own derived from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which comes from God on the basis of faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, in order that I may attain to the resurrection from the dead, not that I've already obtained it or have already become perfect, but I press on so that I may lay hold on that for which I also was laid hold of by Christ Jesus. Brethren, I do not regard myself of having laid hold of it yet. But one thing I do, forgetting what lies behind and reaching forward to what lies ahead, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Paul has a lot to say in that passage, and we want to notice some of them, kind of three primary points, three visions, we might say, not miraculous visions. But the first one we want to talk about is hindsight, 2020 hindsight, looking back. And Paul noted his former claim, all the things he could talk about that would bolster him in the eyes of others. In particular, he shows how he might have confidence in the flesh. His pure Jewish blood, he was a Hebrew of Hebrews, stock of Benjamin. All kinds of things he could brag about there. We looked at those in the scripture just now. His place in the party of the Pharisees was something else he could boast about. His blameless behavior and his enviable status among them. He was not just your common everyday Pharisee. He was a Pharisee of Pharisees, he says. Whatever Paul was involved in, it was 100%. It was wholehearted. He was not mediocre. He wasn't a mediocre Pharisee. His zeal for the law, persecuting the Jews. In fact, in Galatians 1, he says he excelled above many of his own countrymen, being more exceedingly zealous for the traditions of my fathers. When it pleased God who separated me from my mother's womb to reveal his grace in me, immediately I conferred not with flesh and blood. So Paul could talk about all these things, but he wasn't so rooted in the past that he failed to recognize the relative insignificance of those boasts compared to being in Christ. Paul had good hindsight. His hindsight was 20/20. He saw clearly from where he came and where he was at that moment. We need to have that kind of hindsight. Like Paul, we ought to consider the past without getting hung up on it. Sometimes people live in the past. They can't escape it. We shouldn't get hung up on the past. There's value in learning from history. We all know that. We need to do our best in the present and determine to keep moving toward our future. We need to do that. And we ought to live as if it were our last hour and then plan as though we had 1,000 years ahead. Live as though it's the last, plan for the future. And so while we're living in the here and now, let's not be caught up in the immediate fulfillment of all of that we forfeit the ultimate fulfillment. Sometimes people do that. We get so attached to the here and now in this world that we can't let go of it in a moment's notice if we need to. And sometimes that happens. We do need to. We don't need to be like Esau, who forfeited the ultimate position of being the firstborn for a bowl of soup to satisfy his hunger for the moment, for the here and now. That's what he did. And we learn a valuable lesson from that. His birthright was the price he paid for that soup. That soup didn't last very long. The here and now was more important than the future that really mattered to him. And so we don't need to be like Esau. Sometimes we find ourselves in that situation. And so if we receive Christ's teaching, we've been given a new life, kind of like a little boy I read about that was 11 years old and he had been adopted. He was taken in out of a pitiful situation and taken in there, and he came to the new home with ragged and dirty clothes, and he tucked those clothes under the mattress. And one day his adoptive mother came in there and he had those clothes out laying on the bed and he was crying, and she asked him about that. Why are you crying? And he said, why do you keep those clothes? I keep them to remind me so that I will always know what was done for me. And so he needed to be able to see the past and compare it to what was done for him. We need to look at our conversion like that and what we were kind of situation we were in before our conversion. That's not harmful to look at the past and be thankful for that. And so we need to look back occasionally, not dwell on it, not live in the past consistently. Paul said, forgetting the things which are behind. That doesn't mean he never thought about the past. In fact, we find him talking about the past. I think he's talking about specific things about the past that we don't need to dwell on, that we don't need to obsess about. And that's when the problem comes in, when we start obsessing about the past and things that we can't change. And so he wasn't talking about everything in the past, because we find him talking about certain things about the past. And we know that Israel was taught to remember certain things about the past. You're supposed to remember how God led you up out of Egypt. And they were to make memorial stones that marked things that happened in the past. So Paul's not talking about that kind of thing. He's talking about the things that he couldn't change. And we need to have that kind of hindsight and think about those things. Our conversion is one of those things. Lessons that we've learned that have changed our lives, that have benefited us greatly, that we can be thankful for. Forgiveness. We need to be thankful for that all the time, because we need it all the time. And certainly we need 20/20 hindsight to stir us up for better things in the future, so that we can benefit from those things of the past. And that means that we need to see the mistakes that we made, remember the lessons they taught us about thinking twice and acting once, and not making those same old mistakes again and getting back in this muck and mire of sin and remorse and regret and all of that. We need the sins. Paul sees the sins that he's been forgiven of. He's been grateful that he's forgiven of those. And he remembers the lessons that he learned about those. We need to learn about that. We need to remember the pain and the guilt and the hurt that they brought, and the grace of God to forgive us for that. Because those are things we don't need to forget. We need to see the blessings that God bestows, and we need to remember the lessons that he taught us about not worrying and about trusting him more and his gracious generosity to provide, casting your cares upon him because he cares for you. And so we need to do that. We need to see the death of so many loved ones and remember the lessons that that taught us about the fragility of life, how fragile life is, how quickly it can be snuffed out. And we need to do what we can while we can. And so there's a lot of things about the past that we need to learn. And we need 20/20 hindsight so that we have something to stir us up to better things. We don't need to be mediocre in anything when it comes to serving the Lord. We need to learn to make better choices. We need to learn to make better friendships and better relationships and have a better faith and better behavior and better service to Christ and to his church, his bride that he purchased with his own blood. We need to love the church because of the price that he paid for it. Look at how much he loved it. So God was there helping. He was providing. He was forgiving. All of those things for Paul that he is still involved in our lives, and we need to remember that. If God is not in our life anymore, it's not his fault. Somebody once raised the question, if you're not as close as God to God as you used to be, which one of you moved? Well, it wasn't God. He doesn't want to move away from us. And so when we have healthy 20/20 hindsight, we'll also develop a healthy 20/20 insight. And we want to talk about insight now and think about that. He says, but whatever things were gained to me, those things I have counted as loss for the sake of Christ. More than that, I count all things to be loss in view of the surpassing value of knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord. Paul had his focus in the right place. He had 20/20 vision. He had insight, perception. He was savvy to know what mattered the most and what didn't matter as much and what didn't matter at all. It's hard to learn that. Sometimes we have to go through experiences to learn that. If he had insight as to what to forget and what to remember. And so that requires having insight, what to abstain from and what to embrace. You know, the book of Ecclesiastes talks about there's a time for everything under the season, in the season for everything. And we need to learn that, the things to abstain from, the things to embrace. And he had insight to see the vastly superior value of being in Christ. He saw that, knowing and being in Christ above all other things, of all things that can happen to you, nothing else comes close to that blessing of being in Christ. And so Paul could see that. We need to capture what Paul saw on that occasion. And may God grant us that kind of insight. Well, let's look at these things to know what matters most and the superior knowledge of knowing Christ. What activities to forsake? There are some we may need to give up. And it may be hard to give up. They may have become an obsession with us. They may have become a habit that's hard to break. And we need to get over those. What choices to make? There are always going to be choices. Every day is going to have choices we're going to have to make. We don't need to wake up and think all of a sudden there's a choice. Sometimes there are, but basically the choices are going to be the same every day. Am I going to serve the Lord or not? And once we make up that, and we should have made that commitment when we obeyed the gospel, so that we don't have to every day get up and decide, am I going to serve the Lord or not? We made that commitment. We need to say, that's already settled. I am going to serve the Lord, and I don't have to ask myself every day, am I going to serve him? Because I made up my mind that I'm going to. And so may God grant us to see that clearly. We need that. What attitudes to cast away? What relationships to end? What good things we need to do? There are a lot of things we need to think about along this line. And we talked about the activities, what those things, what values and goals to pursue. The first of the year is a good time to set goals. We often set those. We often make those resolutions. And we keep them maybe for a couple of weeks at the most. And then once we break one of those resolutions, we say, well, the thing is broken. I don't have to keep it anymore. You see how logical we are? If your water faucet breaks, do you quit drinking water? No, you fix it. You don't stop drinking water. You make arrangements to fix that. Just because you broke a resolution doesn't mean you shouldn't keep trying to keep it. Just because you messed up. If we did everything that way, life would really be a mess. There are a lot of things that we fix. Why can't we fix that? Can't we fix that resolution? Why do we want to go to the default position that if I break a resolution, I don't need to try to keep it anymore? No, it means I need to try harder to keep it. But we often take the easy way out. James offers some good counsel to us. He says in James chapter 1 and verse 5, "But if any of you lacks insight," there's that word, insight, "let him ask of God, who gives to all generously and without reproach, and it will be given to him." James 1 and verse 5, New American Standard Version. And so Paul had the insight to see clearly what mattered not only for time, but for eternity. Paul was looking to all of that. And that's the kind of insight we need. That is the kind. So those are some things to think about. There's a story about a proud young man who came to a rabbi who was known for his wisdom and understanding and counsel and all of that. And he walked up to the rabbi and he said, "Oh, great teacher, I come to you for insight." The rabbi recognized him as a numbskull. And he took him walking through the streets and out to the sea and chest deep in water. And he put a strong hand on the young man's head and shoved him under the water and held him down there for about 30 seconds. And the rabbi led him up, and he said, "What do you want?" He asked, "Insight. I need insight." And the young man sputtered and called him, "Oh, great wise rabbi." And then the rabbi shoved him under again. This time he held him under about 40 seconds. Rabbi led him up again. "What do you want, young man?" He said, "Insight. I need insight." He shoved him under the water again and left him under there for about a minute and led him back up, and he came back up wheezing. And he said, "What do you want?" He said, "I need air. I need air." And that's when the rabbi said, "When you want insight as much as you want air, you'll have insight." Well, we do need insight, don't we? Hindsight and insight work together to help us develop foresight. We need foresight. And we need it. Much more than we realize. Paul learned that from the past. He kept his values. He kept his conduct straight. And in the present, he lived each day with a hope for the future. So we need to have a proper attitude toward the past, toward the present, and toward the future. We need to get those worked out like Paul did. And he's a good one to go to see that. Gaining Christ, knowing him, being found in him. Paul talked about all those things. And reaching the goal that he had set for him. Paul had goals, and he attained to his future resurrection into eternal life. He understood that. He knew what was going on there. And without being overly mystical or overly worldly, Paul kept his eye on the race because he knew he kept the past in the right place. He kept the future and the present all in balance in the place that they need to be. And those are good lessons to learn. He had the hindsight to value the past and remember the memorable. We need to remember the memorable things that are worth remembering, that are valued to us. He had the insight to act in the present and to stay focused. And he also had the foresight to prepare for the future. That's 2020. 2020 vision. And so, as we think about that, if people had more foresight, there'd be a lot fewer alcoholics and drug addicts. There'd be fewer painful consequences for bad choices that we've made. There'd be fewer broken marriages and friendships and other relationships. There'd be a lot more peace and joy and hope. There'd be a lot more positive, desirable results to our efforts if we just kept this in mind. And a lot more obedience to what God commands. And less pilfering in things that God hadn't said anything about. Sometimes we get enamored over the things that are not in the Bible. Those things that are not in the Bible are what cause religious division. And we've often made the comment that the religious world is not divided over what's in the Bible, we're divided over what's not in it, that people wish was in it. And some try to put it in it. We've had a lot of new reinterpretations of passages of Scripture that we thought were long settled, especially in the area of moralities. We see that in the news all the time anymore, that kind of thing going on. I remember reading about a lion, a story about a lion that thought it'd be easier to have his meals come to him than him have to go out on the hunt. A lot of work involved in the hunt. So he devised a plan that he would invite into his cave his desired cuisine for that day. And so whenever an animal came by in front of his cave, he had a sign out there, "Come in for a free home-cooked meal." He were invited in. And one day, there was an animal that came by, and he saw him there. It was a wildebeest, and saw the sign out there, "Free lunch for the jungle bunch." And he thought he'd investigate that, and he stopped to read the sign, and the lion invited him in with sweet, inviting tones, as he would do, and he said, "Hello, my good friend, please come in for a free meal and let's enjoy it together, and we can have a visit." Having keen 20/20 foresight, the wildebeest said, "I think not. I see several sets of tracks going into your cave, but I don't see any of them coming out." Well, he had foresight. He knew what was up. We need to look before we leap. We have expressions that depict that concept idea. Look before you leap. Think before you act. Consider before you commit. Use your 20/20 hindsight with your 20/20 insight to develop 20/20 foresight. That's what we need to do in 2020. And I hope that these things will help us, that it'll help us get our bearings as we start a new year, and that we can stay with it. We're offering a new Bible reading program. Some of you have signed up for that. I hope more will. It's something we can do together. We can cheer each other on. We can encourage each other along that line. I think it'll be a beneficial thing. And if you get behind, that's no reason to quit. You can still catch up. Remember that what we said about the faucet. We don't quit drinking water when the faucet breaks. If you get off schedule, you can get back on 5 days a week. We encourage you to participate in that. This evening, if you haven't obeyed the gospel of Christ, I hope you've considered your standing. Think about the past. Think about the present. Think more about the future. And make preparation. We all need to do that. If you haven't obeyed the gospel, that's the place to begin. You need to start with Jesus. We said this morning, if you haven't obeyed the gospel, you are in a state of rejection toward Jesus. The reason I say that is because a lot of people view it as though they're in some kind of a gray twilight zone. They're neither against the Lord, but they're not totally for Him either. Yes, you're one or the other. You're either for Him or against Him. If you haven't obeyed the gospel and you know the truth, you're in a state of rejection. And you need to obey the gospel to become a Christian and be saved. Because that concept that you have is deceiving to you. It's deceptive. And it's the very work of the devil to deceive people. He's a great deceiver. If you haven't repented and been baptized into Christ, you need to do that. You need to change your life. Decide you're going to live for Him. Not just become a nominal Christian, not a mediocre one. We're not talking about that. We're talking about being 100% totally dedicated to the Lord. 20/20 foresight. If you're a child of God and you've gotten off the road, you can get back on it. You can start over again. You can start where you are, get forgiveness. And the Lord will accept you back. He wants you to come back. He doesn't want any to perish, but that all to come to repentance. But eventually He gives up. And that's a bad state to be in when the Lord gives up on us. It's not that He doesn't love us anymore. It's because we've reached a point when we won't turn around. We saw that happen in a lot of the nations that Israel had to conquer in the land of Canaan. They had gone beyond a point of no return. They weren't going to come back. They weren't going to repent. and their iniquity was full, and the Lord gave up on them. We have a reference to that in the book of Hebrews. Certain ones that it's impossible to renew to repentance. Impossible, why? Not because God doesn't want them to, but because they've reached a point that they no longer will desire to repent. God knows when that happens. We don't. But this evening, if you're in a condition that you're not right with the Lord, you can straighten that out tonight as we stand and sing the hymn. It's been selected for your encouragement.